What if we uproot the mulberry tree and plant it in the sea? Old Cambridge Baptist Church, our neighbor across Harvard Square, has a practice of summer reading. One book that everyone in the congregation is encouraged to read over the summer, and this past summer, Pastor Cody Sanders picked the book. The title is, Who Do We Choose to Be? Facing Reality, Claiming Leadership, Restoring Sanity, by Margaret Wheatley. So, feeling the need for an infusion of sanity myself, I recently ordered the book and started reading. One of my favorite parts so far is Wheatley's story of a friend who is a project manager. His name is Jim. And Jim did what many of us have only dreamed of. He locked a group of people in a room with a problem to solve, and he wouldn't let them out until they were done. Jim's team of engineers was building a major road in Western Australia. The project came to a halt because there were aspects of the terrain ahead that seemed deeply problematic. And the engineers declared that there were no alternate routes. It would be impossible to continue. The project had to be abandoned. But Jim, whose work history had included responding to a number of grave natural disasters and impending epidemics, had a pretty impressive track record when it came to the impossible. For the seemingly impossible, Jim had a set of strategic principles. Bring everyone with a stake together. Make sure everyone knows they're showing up prepared with wisdom and with the will to contribute. Probing exchanges, that is, uncomfortable probing, is to be expected. But this will enrich rather than diminish the pool of ideas. No voice is more important than any other. The path forward will be built together. In the matter of the impossible road, Jim believed that under pressure, the engineers could come up with a solution. And they did. I believe in a humane amount of time that wasn't shared in Wheatley's book. She also went on to say he only did this once, in case you get a grimmer picture of Jim than is true. So what if we uproot the mulberry tree and plant it in the sea? At this point in the Gospel according to Luke, how many times do you think Jesus has thought of locking the apostles in a room until they get a clue? Yet in their defense, the kingdom for which Jesus is breaking ground on earth has to deal with the rockiest and most inhospitable terrain imaginable, the small-mindedness and prejudice of humans whose hearts seem most naturally to be curled inward instead of outward. That, by the way, is a little riff on Martin Luther, who defined sin, that for which we need repentance, as the heart turned in on itself. Before we come to today's verses in the 17th chapter, Jesus has been going over the plan, instructing the team on the handling of the project's most central building materials, namely repentance and forgiveness. Be on your guard, says Jesus. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if that same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must forgive. Quick sidebar. There's been a very serious abuse of this text over the centuries. Applying it to abusive relationships in which a fake repentance is used by an abuser as a ploy to keep the abused from ultimately leaving the relationship. This has nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about here. Just remember that. The project for which Jesus is enlisting the apostles, the project for which Jesus continues to enlist us, is about building a beloved community on ground that has been leveled by grace. The powerful are brought low. The lowly are lifted up. Paths are made straight. Good news is preached to the poor. Rough places smoothed. Prisoners freed. And when the sun sets in the west, no one is to be without a place of welcome. Beloved community that takes root and rises up where there is repentance and forgiveness. When we turn, that's what repenting is about. It's about turning toward God. And where do we see God on earth but in the eyes of our neighbor? The beloved community takes root and rises up when we repent and forgive, turning toward the neighbor, seeing there the face of God, and we begin to wonder out loud, what if you and I are instruments of God's peace? Where there is hatred, what if we sow love? Where there is injury, what if we pardon? Where there is doubt, what if we keep faith? Where there is despair, what if we together bring hope? Where there is darkness, what if we find as many ways as need be to make light shine? Where there is sadness, what if we together may bring joy? What if we uproot the mulberry tree and plant it in the sea? Impossible, some may say, because such trees are thorny and can barely be touched. We'd need tougher skin. Impossible, some may say, because such thorny things are also too big and we would need many more stronger backs. Impossible, some may say, because for freeing roots that go so deep, the human engineering just hasn't been invented. Impossible, some may say, but not Jesus. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, using only your voice, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And by the way, Jesus infers and makes this explicit back and forth, time to time, by the way, you already have more faith than you need because you have me. And this project that we're building together is my life, mine given for you, mine broken and poured out for you freely for the forgiveness of sin. Which means, while we are all still locked together in this room called life on planet Earth, we can take a page from Jim's playbook, which is pretty much the playbook that Jesus offers to the church. We are the communion of saints. That's what the Holy Spirit does among us. We are in this together. Everyone has gifts to contribute. We are called to share those gifts, and sometimes this is just as hard, we are called to receive gifts from people we might consider unlikely candidates. We are called to speak out and to listen. Humphrey knows this. If the dog knows this, why don't we? We are called to receive the gifts, to speak, to listen, to question and to wrestle, but above all, keep at it. And if someone suggests uprooting the mulberry tree and planting it into the sea, maybe we should give that some real thought. For nothing is impossible, and a tree planted in the sea could just be the beginning of that new island of sanity that will only grow. A place where we may not seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For, as St. Francis knew, it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to an eternal life that begins now, this side of the grave, begins and grows every time we turn, we repent, and we forgive. Amen.